Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 183, recorded on July 10th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going great, and I can tell by the tone of your voice, Michael, that it's going fantastic for you.
It's going quite well. Meeting an
awesome.
Apple, and it's okay, but it's nourishing me. I'm not going to lie about the taste of my apple in front of millions of listeners. You know, that would just be perjury, I think. So Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Good. So we were going to record yesterday, but Jeff had to climb a mountain and rescue some people.
Well, I didn't actually have to climb the mountain. I just had to drive. But you know how sometimes things work out where people end up stuck where they just they need gas. And so I had to go take care of that. I had to go help them out. Yes. And
I had assumed it was a fire thing, like you were helping evacuate people. Somebody just ran out of gas.
Yeah, but they were kind of isolated, so it was a good thing to get them taken care of. And it ended up working out because they ended up cooking dinner for me over their campfire, and it was really cool.
So you got there before they resorted to auto cannibalism.
Exactly. And, cool. You know, in Colorado, that is something that we've had to deal with before. So I was very cognizant of that.
Yep. So they're allowed to have fires right now, like in a pit?
In isolated areas in the state where there has been some rain and they have pre-established fire pits, then you can do fires. But they have to be attended the whole time. And so... Yeah, so the way it worked out was they cooked over the camp stove while I made them a fire so that we could do s'mores afterwards. And it was a really rough evening. I don't know how I survived.
Sounds nice. So before we start talking about what we have on the list of things to talk about, I wanted to mention that I purchased a couple sort of sketchy random iPhone and iPad accessories from Cell Phone Shop, cellphoneshop.net. Are you guys familiar with it?
Oh, yeah. It's out of the UK.
Oh, it is?
I believe so.
Well, the stuff is from China. I know that much. It's super duper China stuff. So what I got was I really enjoyed my dock with my iPhone. Every time I bought an iPhone, I bought a dock. And it just makes it so much nicer to not have to hunt for the cable at my bedside to plug it in at night. So just having it right on the stand, I plunk it down and it's charging. So, and of course, Apple doesn't have that for the iPhone 5. And I just got an iPad 4 the other day and I wanted to get one for that because even more so than my iPhone, I really like being able to just plunk my iPad down. So I got two different docks, one for each. I got the one for the iPad. It works for the iPad mini and the iPad with Retina display. It's just a lightning. It's a large-ish thing. The tolerances on this are not close, not even close to what you would expect with an Apple device. And it definitely feels cheap. I paid $10.99 for that dock, which was actually more expensive than I thought it would be. The iPhone dock was only $5.99. And I was a little
bit... it's smaller.
Yeah, I guess. Have to put less lead in it. I was concerned that because the case I have on my iPhone, I usually have the in-case slider that lets you pop the bottom off so you can put it in a dock. I am using one that doesn't do that now. And so I was concerned that it might not fit. But thankfully, again, the tolerances are really wide on this. So it fits just fine. And it's actually much, it's wider and deeper than it needs to be. So it works out. And the I also got a 30-pin to lightning cable. And I have a question for you guys, because it syncs and it charges using that, but I can't get it to do any audio out using any speaker docks. Is that something that you guys noticed? Have you tried those cables from Apple?
Apple's cable works with some audio devices.
See, that's what I thought. I think my mom has one and it works fine with hers. So, I mean, what do I expect for a $3 30-pin to lightning cable?
Yeah, clearly you expected audio support.
Well, I was hoping for it, but, you know, I was looking for something that would help me plug in a pinch for power. And it'll do that. So there you go.
There
I also
go.
Got a $75 blood glucose monitor from Walgreens. It's not, it's normally $75. It's the IBG Star. It was on sale for $7.50.
That's cool.
So it's substantially cheaper. And I did that because I'm screwing around with my blood sugar just for fun. And I saw, hey, this one plugs into an iPhone, so I'll get this one. And of course, it has a 30-pin dock connector, so it doesn't work with my stuff.
Of course.
And that adapter is no help either. So, good times. Now, moving on to news, iOS 7 has been chugging along in the beta process. We have gotten two beta releases in the time that we last spoke, since we were last on the show. Beta 2 had some interesting things in it, like, I guess there's a new welcome screen. The Siri voices are updated finally, so you get the male and the female English voices. I'm sticking with the lady voice for now, and she sounds a lot better, which I think is pretty cool.
I'm having a little bit of a problem with the new Siri voice, but it's better than the beta 2 Siri voice, because it sounds more like, okay, so the beta 3 Siri voice, female, sounds more like the iOS 6 Siri voice, female.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually nothing wrong with the updated voice. It's just that I have grown attached to my Siri. And I want the voice to sound like my Siri. I like how it does feel more fluid and a little more natural, but I want it to be my Siri's voice. I know. I'm just a romantic fool.
Yeah, you are.
So you guys are talking about NDA stuff?
This is stuff that's been reported on.
I'm talking about videos that I've seen on YouTube.
Yes. Exactly. No, but I mean, this stuff is obviously on Mac Rumors and tons of other sites too. So, but the so on the calendar app, for example, there were some people who were upset that in the current iOS 6 calendar app, if you look at the month view, you see little dots on days where there are appointments scheduled, and that was left out initially. Now it's in there, so you get the little dots, which helps you out quite well.
Yes, it does.
There was one thing I wanted to talk about that was really interesting. I can't remember, but they've been working on
the pronunciation thing.
Yeah, there's the pronunciation thing that I'm not sure if that's going to work well or not. I mainly have an issue with whenever I want to call my my mechanic, his business is called Auto House, and there's a an umlaut over the U, and I put it in there that way because that's the way it should be, and I like it to be the way it should be. But Siri has a big friggin' problem with it, and she never understands what the hell I'm talking about. And then, so I say, call Auto House, and she goes, I'm sorry, I don't see anybody in here as Auto House. And I've
But have you tried going, call Auto House?
Yeah, I've tried all that. Trust me, I've gone through some extreme rigmarole over this one.
I have a trick.
Issue. What? Putting it in as phonetic?
No. Okay. So, like, when you set up relationships for different people in your address book, you can use those relationships in place of the name.
So I can say, call my mechanic?
Yeah, what if you just said, this person, this contact is called mechanic?
That's really clever.
That might work. I never thought you'd say call my mechanic.
Or except call mechanic.
Mark will end up going, call my mechanic. It sounded a lot funnier.
You'd have to say call mechanic, I think. Or maybe my mechanic would work. I don't know. Can you put in custom
relationships or nicknames? Yeah, girlfriend works. So I can say call girlfriend or call my girlfriend, and either way it works. So.
I would try that.
Yeah, I'll try that. Lord knows I like screwing around with Siri's quirks.
But really, who doesn't?
She is infuriating sometimes, seriously. I don't know what it is. Can I just say that Siri seems to have gotten way worse lately? Have you guys noticed that?
No.
Maybe we just hit a rough patch in our relationship.
Well, you know, all relationships take work, and just, you know, you and Siri, you can work it out together.
Maybe I need to take her out.
I believe in you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I just need to show her a good evening and she'll be all better.
Yeah, take her out to a movie, buy her a drink.
Yeah. Well, I did take her to see This Is the End the other night, but she stayed in my pocket the whole time, if you know what I mean.
Boy, howdy.
In iOS 7 Beta 3, I believe, as it was on non-Retina iPads, you can, of course, bring up iPhone-only apps on your iPad, and you get the standard size, and then you can do the doubling. Well, when Retina apps came out, everybody was wondering, why do we get this crappy-looking display when we double it? Because those pixels are there, they've been drawn, and they're in the app. Why can't you just show it that way? For whatever reason, Apple hasn't done it. Now they are doing it in Beta 3. So if you have a non-Retina iPad and you're looking at an iPhone app that was coded for Retina iPhones, you will get a very nice, it won't be Retina. I mean, you'll be seeing the Retina graphics, but you'll be seeing one-to-one, I believe. So it won't be fuzzy is the end result, which is nice.
Right. It's not going to have to do the
scaling thing. Not fuzzy is good.
Yeah. So have you guys seen any interesting things in iOS 7?
Did you say I was looking at the nickname thing. Did you say about the font? Silly font.
Oh, about changing Helvetica and Neue?
Yeah.
Isn't it Neue?
Neue.
I always just call it
Thank
new.
You. Yeah, it's Neue. Sorry.
Yeah, Helvetica and Neue?
So I'm awesome. I've been saying Neue today. It's Neue. It's Helvetica and Neue. You're absolutely right.
I just say new.
Well, you're going to have some nerd with tiny glasses slap you.
Well, Neue is dumb.
I agree. Anyway,
that's
let's move
annoying.
Forward. Let's
it's a Neue-ing.
Wah, wah. So is it better to see the text? I still have the issue with the home screen, and if you have some kind of background where...
Yes, there's like a white part, but the whole thing isn't white.
Yeah, it's really obnoxious. Like, yes. For example, I've seen screenshots where you have the charging indicator with when the iPhone is locked. Of course, you get the battery that shows on the screen when you initially plug it in. It's the big green battery, but on iOS 7, it has a white outline. And if you have a white background or one that has lighter colors in it, the battery just like disappears. And it's just insane. They really need to just they really just need to allow drop shadows again. They need to embrace the drop shadows. That's all I'm saying. So, but it's really interesting that for iOS 7, it seems to be installed in record numbers, according to OnSwipe. They, I guess, track this sort of information. They say that 2 weeks after iOS 6 beta, the first one was released, 25.25% of mobile devices that visited the company's sites were running iOS 6 beta. Currently, the iOS 7 beta, it's at, as of June 10th, it's 0.46, which is almost double what we saw last time, which is pretty interesting. And the iPad is up even more than usual. No, I'm looking at, it's now 0.77. I'm sorry, that was June 10th. So more currently, it's 0.77. So there are a lot more iOS 7 installs than there were before. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that for whatever reason, there's either a bug or Apple has sort of secretly decided they want to allow more users to play around with it without being able to, without having
more
to.
More developers.
That's one thing, but there's definitely
there's more people who just are antsy enough to pay $100.
Well, you don't even have to pay
early.
You don't have to pay anything because there's this ongoing bug or whatever where you just update your iOS 6 phone to iOS 7, it bypasses that check that Apple has.
But that's a hacky thing, right? I mean,
it's hardly hacky at all. You just hold down option and click a button and then you're going.
But you have to get the installer.
You do. That's very true. You have to find the installer, but hey, the Pirate Bay.
I have a feeling a lot more people are just willing to pay $99 to sign up for the developer program. I mean, it's simple to do.
So. Yeah, that's definitely true. I think
it's a paid OS upgrade. People were used to that. Remember when we used to pay $100 to get a new version of an OS?
Ah, good times.
Yeah. It was $130 actually.
Yeah, so I think people just aren't that opposed to it. I think there's a lot of people probably picking up Mavericks as well for $99.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Shouldn't. I mean, there's that whole other debate is like, you really shouldn't be running beta software unless you're a developer, but hey.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how that benefits Apple other than positive word of mouth, because I would say that a majority of these people don't even understand that you can report bugs to Apple, let alone how to do it.
If you go in and read the developer forums, you can see the kind of stuff that's going on.
Oh, is it madness?
Yes.
Total monkey business in there?
Yes.
I bet it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, awesome. One very cool screen that someone found in iOS 7, I believe it was Beta 3. With Beta 3, you know that screen that pops up when you first get your iDevice and you go into the App Store for the first time, or maybe you've done a restore or whatever, and it says, hey, Apple has a couple free apps that you should probably download. We have iBooks, we have podcasts, we have Find My Friends, and we have Find My iPhone. You should totally get that. You want to get it? Here you go. And it gives you some really convenient links. Mm-hmm. Well, that screen exists in Beta 3. However, several more apps have been added to the Get These Apps for Free list, including iPhoto, iMovie, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote, which all cost money currently.
So maybe we'll be getting
iWork for free.
Yeah, or maybe it's just there's some weird bug with the installer software, and it's just showing more stuff than it should.
I would say that the bug is definitely there, but it's a bug showing what Apple didn't want to show yet, because it doesn't make sense that stuff would. It doesn't make sense that stuff would be in there because of the way that. That stuff would be coded up. I mean,
I don't think it's a bug. I think it's a mistrust of Apple actually thinking like, oh, these people aren't supposed to show this stuff, but
right.
They're going to anyway.
Yeah, of course they will.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might not be a bug at all. But now, it does make sense with the fact that Apple is producing, it's still in beta right now, but there's iWork in the cloud, so you can work on it work on iWork documents in your browser.
Now that actually you can get at, I understand, even if you're signed up for the free developer program.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so if you take your Apple ID and you sign up for the developer program for free, which anybody can do, anybody can sign up to be a developer without paying for the Safari. It's basically you're a Safari web developer or a Safari developer, I guess. And the reports that I read, and I confirmed this with my account that's not my developer account, I was able to log into beta.icloud.com and I have access to all that stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat to check out. It pretty much does all the same stuff as the desktop apps do, but it's cool to see it working. And you can use it on Windows if you want.
And see, that's what makes the web apps really smart.
Exactly.
Because Apple just made it cross-platform.
Precisely, yeah. I was going to say without doing a lot of work, but yeah, I'm sure they did a bunch of work.
I think they did a ton of work.
Yeah. Basically recreating frameworks on the web. So there's been some hidden code uncovered in iOS 7 as well, indicating that we may see a slow motion video recording capability in the next iPhone.
Ooh, like bullet time.
Yeah, kind of like bullet time. Maybe not that slow. Maybe not good enough for the Mythbusters.
Ah,
well, maybe.
But
maybe
you know,
for
someone's
going
to try it.
Yeah, maybe
we can't do like 1,000 frames a second.
Get shocked?
No, I don't think so. It's 120 frames per second. They're thinking.
That's still cool.
It is cool. You can do some fun stuff with 120 frames per second, like fake a moon landing, for example.
No, you can't. The Mythbusters proved that too.
That is true. They busted it.
Busted.
See, are you allowed to say that? Because you're kind of blowing your cover as a Mythbuster, Jeff.
The best way to remain hidden is in plain sight.
Ah, you're right.
Exactly. So now people are really wondering, and that's okay.
That's so ninja.
Yes. Yes, it is. But I've said too much already.
Indeed you have. So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. iWatch stuff? Anybody? Want to talk about iWatch stuff? Because Apple seemed to have gone on a trademarking spree on the first, which is quite interesting because I've completely dismissed the whole iWatch thing. But they trademarked it in many countries: Russia, Japan, Taiwan, Mexico...
Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey.
So I have Columbia, a theory Chile. On that.
Yeah.
Apple may not be planning on releasing a product called iWatch, but everyone has started associating the name with an Apple product. By locking up the name, they can stop other companies from making products that are intentionally designed to confuse people into thinking they're buying something from Apple.
Yeah, it might definitely just be a protection mechanism.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
And they recently made a new hire, Mr. Paul Deneve. Is that how you say it? From
Deneve or Deneve?
Deneve. Yeah, so he's joined Apple. He left, how would you say that? Yves Saint Laurent?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. You're on.
Nice, Jeff.
So, people were thinking initially that he might be the replacement for the senior vice president of retail. However, Apple has said that he's working at the company on special projects as a vice president.
Yes, I believe he's the senior vice president of looking fabulous.
Exactly. You can get more of that type of reporting at themacobserver.com.
Well, that, so a lot was being read into that with relation to the whole iWatch thing, though, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's precisely why I bring it up, because he works on luxury brands.
Now, keep in mind what he did when he worked for Apple before. He was in charge of marketing for all of Europe. And he has a lot of experience in that area. So it could be that his job is to market or to head up marketing for Apple products to higher end, like higher price bracket users.
Possibly. But they said
I'm tossing that out as an idea.
But they said special projects.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem that special.
Yeah, but if you didn't want people to know what he's really working on.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying.
I mean, you can say anything. Really.
I guess. Okay. Whatever.
So, sure. Maybe he's working on wearable technology, or maybe not.
Jetpack. Jetpack is a wearable technology.
That's a totally wearable technology. I would so buy an Apple Jetpack.
So would everyone. All right. So we have quite a bit more to talk about here on We Have Communicators. But before we do that, we have to thank our wonderful sponsor, which is Squarespace. It's squarespace.com. You can get everything you need to create an exceptional website at squarespace.com. And you can get another 10% off if you use the coupon code WHC7 at checkout. Or WHC8 if you're in the month of August. So
don't like it.
Yeah, you
They're
are going to like it.
A business because it's awesome stuff, and then you don't need a web developer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Squarespace, you make an awesome website with it. They do everything. They do the hosting. They have the software, the content management system, and they have awesome templates. You don't even have to find one of those Code Monkey designer guys to make an awesome design for you, because you can make it yourself with
Adam's not a monkey.
Well, I'm not talking about Adam.
He is a hairless primate, but he's not a monkey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So go to squarespace.com right now and click the get started button. You don't have to put any information in. What that button will do is let you look at all the awesome templates they have available for you. And what you can then do from that point is you use those templates as a jumping off point, because no two Squarespace sites tend to look alike, because they're highly customizable and very easily done with the web interface. You don't have to know how to code anything, no CSS, HTML, JavaScript, or anything. But if you do know how to do that, you can get under the hood and play with that stuff.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can, you know, move sliders and throw in colors and choose colors and make it look exactly the way that you want it. So it's perfect for people who want to do portfolio sites. If you have a small business, if you want to sell stuff with Squarespace Commerce, they have, again, as they do take care of everything on the web hosting side, they also take care of all the commerce stuff. So you get They take care of the payment stuff, the inventory, the tracking, everything that you need to worry about. They have it all taken care of in Squarespace.
Responsive, too.
Yeah, they have responsive designs. You don't have to worry about that.
It's going to work on mobile.
Exactly.
Tablets and iPhones, and doesn't matter the screen size. You know, we always talk about the, like, oh, you got to worry about your screen sizes in iOS apps. Nope.
Yeah, they take care of all that stuff for you. They have awesome widgets that you can throw in there. So if you're a small business and you want to have a little Google map of where you are that people can figure out how to get there from where they are, you just throw a widget in there. You can throw your Facebook and Twitter and social media widgets in there that show the updates from your Twitter, links to your different social media places, email, and all that stuff. They have a calendar widget that's really cool. So if you have events going on, you can sync that up with your calendar on your computer, and it shows all those events up on there. And people who go there can obviously see that, and they can also subscribe to it. It's really cool. I mean, they think of absolutely everything. So if you are a small business, or you're someone who needs a portfolio or a blog or just web pages, or need to sell something, pretty much
your cat needs a website.
Yeah. Perfect. If your cat needs a website, Squarespace is awesome.
Whose cat doesn't?
Exactly. Yeah. So check it out right now. Squarespace.com. You're going to love it. Squarespace.com/communicators. Use coupon code WHC7 this month or WHC8 next month. It's everything you need to create an exceptional website. Check them out. They're awesome. So with that, let's talk about... What do we want to talk about? I thought I knew what I wanted to talk about. The low-cost iPhone that we've been talking about forever. Yeah, we finally have something that's
the most
hideous
colors in the world, and if they come out like that.
Yeah, those are
some... Yeah, because Apple's going to release crap, of course. I mean, no, Mike, tell me about this.
Actually, I wasn't going to talk about those colors, but because they did look so terrible, I just sort of dismissed them. Yeah, so there are some... firstly, we saw a lovely compilation of photos and videos from a site that got a hold of the screen as well as the rear shell.
Claims to have.
I mean, it looks pretty legit, I have to say. It would be tough to fake this stuff. But hey, you know, people have a lot of free time, so who knows? And then, of course, we've seen today, in addition to the white, we see green, barf green, blue, and some
they
kind
look
of
like,
barf
you know,
orange.
Honestly, and I hate to say this because I think they're really ugly, but I think they might turn out to be actual colors because apparently if you go out like shopping, I don't follow fashion stuff, but
oh, yeah.
I've been kind of paying attention. Neon, like 80s neon colors are coming back in.
Yeah, those
Vogue,
are totally the colors, yeah.
And they're Why? Totally those colors.
They are.
So they're going to be, I guess, popular among the kids.
With the
kids. I don't know.
With the teeny
They look
whoppers.
Like kid phones.
Kid phone. Hit me on my kid phone.
But I mean, the assumption is it's going to be pretty awesome, you know, spec wise. So if you can get over the ugly shell and hopefully
you can just
white,
get a white one.
A bunch of people were saying the white one can't be legit because it'll cause confusion with the white iPhone 5S.
No, it
but
won't.
I don't think so either because the front will be black and the back will be white. It's not all white. So
yeah, you get the silver, it's
distinguished.
Metal. Don't be a dummy.
Yeah. So the white one's cool. The other one's cool. And you know, then somebody posted a sort of an alternate one that where it looked a little more subdued, but those even looked worse.
We did it. We experienced this several times before in the past with the Nanos, though.
Yeah, yeah, and also, I mean, I am guilty. You can go back and listen on this podcast. I'm sure I said it. I was very afraid that the black iPhone 5 was going to be really... I was not impressed with the whole two-tone thing. Yeah. So there is a difference between these images that get leaked out and then the actual things themselves. Like, seeing it in person is nowhere near like seeing it in a, you know, yeah. leaked photo, yeah.
exactly.
which very often True. Isn't in the best of lighting conditions.
And the black iPhone 5 does look really good.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I have, and I love it. So
I'm always surprised.
I won't pass judgment until we see them, but I do suspect that these could be legit and that they're going to be these kind of neonish colors because I think that's the trend for this year or next year.
Yeah.
I hope that's not accurate. I Sorry, fear Jeff. You're right, but I hope you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. So Apple's filed some patents for... their mapping software, which includes some social interaction type stuff and not the bad, dumb kind where you're like, hey, I'm on Facebook on my map while I'm driving and navigating. I'm awesome. It's the rate the route, rate your route, where you can say, oh, I've got heavy traffic and this one has no food and it's a sucky route. 2 stars.
Or you yeah, can or do there's new construction here. It's kind of Waze.
Yeah, so it's very Waze-like, yeah, where it has the reporting accidents or heavy traffic or, you know, all that stuff. Looks pretty neat. I've been digging on the Waze more and more these days because it's... when I travel routes that I know how to get places, like when I'm heading in and out of Chicago or something like that, it's nice to just have it up in case there's a better route available, although it hasn't really done that rerouting thing for me yet. Have you gotten it to say, hey, there's a better way to go, turn here, kind of thing?
I have not.
Adam?
On
Waze.
I don't use Waze.
Oh, well, you're a dummy.
I use what's built into my iPhone. I use Apple Maps.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I have gone back to Apple Maps.
I like all the police reporting. That's really helpful because I like to speed.
Ah, okay. Well, then something like Waze is actually really important for you.
Yeah.
You criminal.
And I can also tell when other people have Waze too, because they slow down right about the same time that I do. Like, oh, he must have gotten that alert too.
I'm going to start watching to see if a bunch of cars while I'm driving all slow down at the same time.
Yeah, for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and actually, if I'm watching for that, I have no cause to use Waze because they're using it for me. How's that for the ultimate in social location based networking?
Yeah, you win.
I win.
But you're not contributing to the hive mind, though. You're not letting everyone know that the traffic is rough by the fact that your car is slowing down. Take that, Mr. Something Something Guy.
Hey, it's all about me, so whatevs.
Yeah. So that would be nice if Apple put that in there, because it is nice to have the native integration in Apple Maps. Because they get all the fun toys. So what else do we have here? Oh, next iPad 5.
I have to back up for a second.
Okay.
And ask you, because I had not watched this video for this budget iPhone.
Oh, okay.
How the frick do you change the volume?
Because there are just doodle holes for all the buttons. Yeah,
somebody in the comments went, here's the new tool for changing the volume on the budget iPhone, and it's a paperclip.
Yeah.
There's no buttons.
Yeah, I don't think they drilled the holes yet, Adam.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe... Since
it's a kit, the new iPhone is going to be a kit.
They're kid phones, and for kids, if you have to turn it down, you're too old. So why do you need volume buttons?
Exactly.
There's just little pinholes. You know, it looks like little. So you think they just haven't been routed out yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that. It's just funny.
Yeah. So we've been hearing rumors about the next generation iPad being thinner and lighter, and the bezels being thinner, which is awesome. I just got an iPad 4. Even though I want the next one, I had an opportunity to get some good money for my iPad 2. So I did that. And I'll probably be getting the next generation, because I did actually notice that the iPad 4 is, I can tell that there's a bit of a difference in weight. It's a little bit heavier than the iPad 2, which was surprising. I think it's like 50 grams heavier. It's no big deal, but I did notice it. But I would like something that's substantially lighter and has thinner bezels and all that cool stuff, which is what's rumored. So there have been, according to DigiTimes, they say that Apple is preparing to ramp up for iPad 5 production for September launch. That they've already produced quite a few initial batch, but they think that the iPad Mini is still being worked on, and they're thinking maybe it'll be October timeframe, October, November, because of Retina issues. And we've heard that rumor echoed in the past as well.
This one confused me a little bit, because isn't it easier to get the smaller displays as Retina displays? I mean, Apple's competitors have high resolution 7-inch displays, right?
Right.
I mean, there's some of those devices out there.
You know, I wonder if it's
Is this a yield problem, or we don't want to go to Samsung anymore problem?
I wonder if it's an issue with the graphics driving it, whatever chip they're using. Possibly. Although that, I don't know. You'd think that they'd be using like an A6X in it, right?
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I had a hard time buying that would be the reason for the delay, unless it is the other vendors just can't get the yields because they've already got contracts You know, it might just be Apple's late to the game, and there's other contracts that these guys are already on, and their production lines are just full.
I could see that as an issue. Sure.
Yeah, and especially if Apple doesn't want to use Samsung, if they're like adamant about not using Samsung, then that would be even tougher for them. But I'm guessing that that's not ultimately the problem. If there is going to be a delay, I'm just doubting that it's going to be delayed. I think we'll see an update soon. But
so, are you going to be turning in your big one for a small one?
Good question. You know, this does bring up a bigger issue that I have with how Apple's updating their products. For a guy like me, and there's a lot of us out there who sort of like to have the latest and greatest of, you know, latest and greatest iPhone, latest and greatest iPad, iPad mini, I'm not going to have the budget to buy an iPhone, an iPad mini, and a new iPad all at the same time.
Okay, but why do you need an iPad and an iPad mini?
I probably don't. I probably would go for the mini, but it's interesting. I mean, I guess it's going to depend on once I see the new iPad and how much lighter it is. And I mean, it's going to be slightly physically smaller. There's times when I prefer to have my full-size iPad, I guess, versus the small one. I like the mini for like reading and stuff like that, for doing things like taking notes at a meeting or those sorts of interactions where I'm actually inputting content or creating content. I really do prefer to have my full size iPad.
I agree completely. I was expecting when I got a mini that I would, over a very short period of time, gravitate towards one of the two and the other would just sit around. What I found is that they have very different uses. My iPad is a content creation device. It's my all-in-one tablet. My iPad mini is my my more casual use. It's more of a consumption-oriented device as opposed to a content creation device. And I find myself reaching for one or the other depending on what my specific task is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had to choose just one, as much as I love the mini, I would go with a full-size iPad because I can do more with it.
Yeah, and I think I would do a similar thing. And that's what Apple is sort of forcing by having this, what I've classically called the product barf or the release barf or whatever you want to call it, just puking out everything all at once. And they're going to do it with laptops and stuff like that, too. So, you know, some people are expecting MacBook Pro revisions along with all this other stuff. And if they do it all at once, I think they're going to find that a lot of people are going to buy fewer products every year because they're going to have to make a choice on which ones they want most. Whereas in the past, when it was spread out every few months, you know, you got 6 months to sort of save your pennies back up and you're not having to outlay a huge amount of cash all at once to get everything updated. So I don't know if they've really factored that into sort of this new strategy of, you know, releasing everything all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, staggering it out a little does make sense. You're right. If they dump everything, realistically, how many customers can buy all of it all at once?
Yeah. I mean, you might have the guy that wanted a new iPad but also needs a new MacBook Pro. And if they release the iPad and the MacBook Pro at the same time, he may have to like go, well, I can't really get the MacBook Pro and the iPad. So he might hold off on the iPad purchase. I mean, I guess ultimately you could buy it in another 6 months, but then you're at that stage where it's like, well, should I just wait for the next update now? Because this one's 6 months old.
Sure.
And if you do that dilemma.
Yeah. And if you do one a quarter, even though for some people, if they can't afford it, some of those people will find a way to afford it because they've had a quarter between purchases.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that impacts how people make buying decisions for their Apple products. But I think if I'm already thinking about it, I would have to imagine others are thinking about it too, because I know I want the new iPhone for sure. So And will I get an iPad if they update iPads? I don't know. I might not. I might just skip it. Wait for the next one.
Yep. Well, I stayed with the iPad 2 for quite some time, and I was fine with it. So, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So, we should talk.
Wait.
Okay.
So, the other thing that I guess I'll factor into that, because there was a rumor this week that Apple is wanting to, for specifically for iPhones, it was they had this sort of sales summit, and what it was all about was trying to get more people to buy their iPhones through Apple, because they found like 80% of people were buying them through other resellers, yet like 50% of the support for iPhones was going through Apple, which is, that's very costly. So they'd want to have a better balance between those two things, and part of the incentives that they talked about would be a buyback program on older devices. So you bring your older device in and they would give you cash for that or credit for that within the store to buy the next device. So I guess, you know, if they make good offers for like my iPad 3 or my iPad mini or something like that, maybe that'll help subsidize some of those things. So that could be a way around that for Apple. And that might be why they're considering expanding those programs.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
So sorry, just thought I'd throw that in there. That was one thing I saw this week that went, okay, well, maybe if I bring in my iPad and they go, well, we'll give you, you know, $150 for your iPad mini or whatever it is, maybe that helps.
Yeah, something nominal.
That would help a lot. If nothing else, it helps some consumers get over the psychological barrier of, oh my God, I'm about to spend so much money.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry.
No worries. Do we have anything else to talk about before we talk about our picks? No? Okay. Well, let's get to our picks then. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first.
All right.
My pick tonight, today, this afternoon, this morning, whatever time it is for you, dear listener, is a stylus. And it's called the Mobius, and it's from V23 Next. And it's a solid aluminum stylus with a 6mm nib instead of an 8mm nib. A lot of styluses have a wider nib. And what I found is that the 4mm nibs are great because they're so thin, but you tend to have to push harder to get more surface contact. And a 6mm nib is a nice in-between because you get good contact without having to press too hard, but it's not so wide that it obscures what you're looking at, and it balances really well. And it has kind of a flare near the tip, so the way it curves, it fits in your hand very nicely.
Yeah, it looks cool. Looks futuristic.
It looks really cool, and the stylus shaft, it's solid aluminum. So it's really durable. It looks really nice. And it even comes with a couple replacement nibs.
Do you realize how sexual this whole segment just sounded? Nibs and shafts and squishiness and how it feels in your hand.
Yes. Yeah, so what it comes down to is I have a solid shaft with a nice size nib in my hands right now, ladies.
Yeah, I'm, for the record, I didn't take it that over there in that place where Jeff takes it. And apparently now Adam takes it too.
Oh man.
Okay.
Well, you know. Yeah. And $30, ladies.
$30. $30. That's how much it is. It's at...
you can have nibs that aren't too big. Just the right size.
Right. Just the right size.
Yeah. And firmness.
V23next.com, or check the show notes. There's a link there. And I'll go next because it's funny that you picked a stylus, because my pick this week is also a stylus.
No kidding.
No way.
It is the Pogo stylus. It's a classic one.
Which Pogo?
The original Pogo stylus.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? The real thin one with the kind of foam tip?
Yeah, the little pom-pom at the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been using that forever. And I've recently been using it to do some, like, math work on my iPad, so I don't have to use a bunch of scratch paper.
Okay.
Works quite well. And it's a nice little low budget stylus for stuff if you don't care about precision.
Yeah, they're $10 or $12?
$15. I'm using what am I using? Not paper. It's something else.
Penultimate?
Yeah, Penultimate.
I saw that in your Appler list, so it's a recent addition, so that was my guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm using Penultimate because it has nice palm rejection.
Yes.
Which is always important. So if you're looking for a nice, cheap, useful stylus for your iDevices, the Pogo stylus from 10-1 Design is quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind spending a bit more, the Pro is really actually nice.
Oh, yeah? The Sketch Pro?
It has a nice, longer, tapered shaft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, yes. It's a nice stylus. And it fits well in your hand. And you have a choice of nibs that you can put on that one, too.
Yep. Another $10. So, yeah, check them out. 10-1 Design. So, Adam, what is your pick this week?
I'm going with a game, and it was actually one that I kind of knew about, but I did not pick it up when it came out on the App Store, and it came up now twice over the past month. It came into my radar outside of the App Store. The first time was at my iOS development meeting, and the game is Ridiculous Fishing. I don't think anybody's picked this one, right?
No.
So it came up at my iOS developers group because we had a guy come in and talk about something called Open Framework,
okay,
which is like an API or a framework, rather, for iOS that you can download and you can build apps in. And it was originally designed for like performance artists. And it's got a huge set of libraries for like different kinds of controls, like motion control. Like they had a really cool project where they did a drawing app where you could control the entire thing with just your eye movements.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's got all these, it was very focused on sort of this performance artist kind of stuff, and it has a lot of connectivity APIs, but it also has a great vector API. So Ridiculous Fishing is this, like, just from a design standpoint, this beautiful sort of vector, but with an 8-bit feel kind of style to it.
That looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks really neat. So it was built all in this open framework. So they were sort of showing that off. And I'm like, oh, that visually, that app looks really, really cool. And then I was at Nerdtacular last week. And for my show for the MacCast this week, I decided I would do a segment called What the App Is That? And the idea here was I went around and I asked people if I could look at their device and find apps that I had not tried out or I didn't know anything about. And I would ask them, what the app is that?
And that's really cool.
Yeah, it went over really well. And it was sort of this app discovery show. And I had a lot of fun doing it. But Scott Johnson, who runs that Nerdtacular conference, it's a conference he has a podcast network called Frog Pants. And there's a bunch of shows on there. And so I asked him about it, and he said, it's awesome, and I tried it out. So the basic concept is you're this fisherman, but it's a really simple game. You throw your line in the water with a little sinker on it, and it starts to go down, and then you use the tilt action, the sensor, to sort of avoid the fish on the way down and try and get your line as deep as you possibly can. Because the object is when you bring the line back up, you need to move the line and hook the fish that are swimming back and forth on the way up and hook as many of them as you possibly can before it gets to the surface. And then when it gets to the surface, the fish go flying up, and that's when you pull out your weapons and you start destroying the fish as they're flying through the air.
Like shooting fish in the sky.
Yes. And so then as you do that, you'll collect coins and money, and then you can use the money to buy upgrades like longer lines so that you can have more time to pick up more fish. You can buy better weapons, explosives, better outfits, all that sort of stuff. And it's a paid for game. I don't think there's any in-app purchases. I don't think you can buy money, or at least I haven't seen that. Maybe it's in there. But I think the idea is more just to earn that stuff by doing better and better fishing.
So yeah, I'm not seeing anything in the information about in-app purchases.
Yeah, I don't think it has in-app purchase, which I really appreciate. So you just buy it. I think it was like $2.99, yep. I want to say, on the App Store. And it is totally fun. It's a quick, you know, if you're just in line, it's a very casual kind of game. And I am just really enjoying playing it. So I'm glad I kind of discovered it. So
neat.
Sharing it. Ridiculous Fishing.
It does sound ridiculous.
But it's cool. It was like a featured app on the Mac App Store.
Yeah, it looks nice.
We probably should throw out a second pick for people, not really a pick, but mention that Apple is celebrating the 5th anniversary of the App Store, and there's like, I think, 10 apps that are like free right now.
Quite a few apps, yeah.
Including like Infinity Blade 2 and the Barefoot Atlas, which is awesome. And
what's in that?
Tiny Wings.
What's the Barefoot Atlas thing?
It's just like a world atlas with like information about like you would normally find in an atlas.
What's
but it's
an
got
atlas?
Like a cool design to it. Huh?
What's an atlas?
Do you don't know what an atlas is?
Is that like a... Is that
that's
like a,
the guy that holds up the planet.
Atlases are maps, and then you can click on points and places and get all kinds of information about that place.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I know.
Population
that.
And...
Michael's so pretty.
The language
I'm just
that
being
they speak
a dork.
And,
I'm sorry.
What else is in there? There's
Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery.
Oh, that's an awesome game.
Badland is in here.
Have you played Sword and Sorcery?
No.
Oh, that's a really cool, fun game. Especially if you like play with headphones.
Wasn't Badland a pick of yours recently?
Badland's awesome, too. Yes. See? Yeah. There's like a million free things
one of
to
our
grab
picks,
them before
day
while
one.
They're free.
Day One's in here. That was one of our picks. How to Cook Everything. I think that was one of Jeff's picks.
I believe so.
Where's My Water? That was one of Adam's picks.
No, I never picked that one.
Okay, well.
That might have been one of my picks.
Okay. Yeah. Check them out. Yeah.
Great apps. Grab them. They're free right now. I don't know for how long.
Yeah, they don't know either. I mean, they probably know, but they're not telling. Shh. It's a secret.
All right.
So yeah, with that, all that stuff can be found in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Of course, you can review us on iTunes. We appreciate that. And tell a friend, because we love new listeners. Feedback is feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. 202-642-6667 is the phone number. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's awesome, as always.
Thanks for being here. It is awesome.
Yes.
Sorry, I turned into a robot.
It's okay. We love being here, too.
It is cool. Partly cloudy. Super sunny. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, member.MacCast.com, and MacCast everywhere else, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Thank you
for being here. I'm at Michael Johnston, and we're all our names on Appler too.
Oh yeah, check out Get Appler.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
See our picks. See the stuff we like when we like them.
You can stalk me and see all the stuff that I download from my iOS device.
Yeah, I
that's
showed.
Always fun.
I showed my aunt your profile on Appler, and she likes a lot of the stuff that you like, the drawing stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Maybe you two could kind of hook up.
I think everyone's taken, but okay.
Well, okay.
Good try, though.
Hey, you know, just doing what I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. And an internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?